I want to tell you a little joke. It's sort of the foundation of our lesson today. And this was sent to me by Cindy's sister. And I modified it just a bit. I'm going to put Bill Gibson in here. See, there was this guy that was having a lot of mental problems. No, not Bill. And he was going to a psychiatrist, and he told the psychiatrist, he says, ever since I was a child, I'd have a fear of somebody being under my bed at night. So he says to the shrink, I got problems. Every time I go still, every time I go to bed, there's somebody under it. I'm scared. I think I'm going crazy. And the psychiatrist says, well, just put yourself in my hands for 1 year. Come and talk to me 3 times a week, and we should be able to get out all of those fears. How much do you charge? The guy said. The psychiatrist said, well, it's $80 a visit. The guy said, well, let me think about that. So he leaves, and the psychiatrist doesn't hear anything from him for a year. And then all of a sudden, one day, he ran into him on the street, and he said, hey, you still having your problems? You haven't been in for any sessions with me. He said, well, no, I went to Bill Gibson. I told him my problems. The psychiatrist says, well, how'd that help you? He said, well, Bill Gibson came over to my house, and he cut all the legs off my bed. Ah, me. If you don't catch the humor of that, that's the kind of person Bill Gibson is. And I think it's important to understand that that's a reflection of his heart. I hope you listen carefully to that song that Richard sang with us, Pure in Heart, Help Me to Be. I want to give you 10 suggestions this morning about how you can help your heart get better. And I don't care whether you're 10 or 110, this all applies. It applies to me. I was kind of interested that last song we sang. I think I'm probably the oldest guy here. I don't know, maybe Bill is. How old are you? You got me by a year, okay. Well, I'm the second oldest person here. But the older I've gotten, the more I've learned about how God works in your life. That song nails it. But pure in heart. Romans the 10th chapter and verse 10, it says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Did you hear that? It is with your heart that you believe and are justified. You know, I think sometimes we emphasize the externals. And God says, with your heart you are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Well, that's a reflection of what's in our heart, hopefully. Matthew 15, beginning with verse 17. Jesus says, don't you see that whatever enters a mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. These are what make a man unclean. From out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. Cindy, listen to this one. But not eating with unwashed hands do not make a man unclean. I've been telling her that. But that's obviously not what this passage is about, is it? That's a whole different perspective. As a matter of fact, it's kind of interesting that in my Bible, the word unclean is in quotes. And the lexicon says the best translation of that is messed up. Yeah, things get messed up. What's the definition of heart? You know, we got some guys here that have had a little trouble with their heart physically. We're thankful that those have been addressed. But I hope they'll keep working on it. But Webster says that the heart is the seat of emotion. The seat of emotion. That's the heart we're talking about, not the one that's in here. the seat of emotion, what we really feel, what we think, what we are. The Bible has some goals for heart health. I want to give you 10 of them this morning. From God's Word, not from me. You know, the heart can change. The heart can change. We sang, pure in heart. What's that doing? It's asking God to help us have a better seat of emotion. I don't care who you are, you need that. I need that. So how do we do it? How do we get rid of racial prejudice? How do we get rid of the struggles that we have and how we think, what we say? Number one, what you believe in, you pursue and sacrifice for. What do you pursue? What do you sacrifice for? In Exodus 15 and verse 5, the Bible, Moses talking, as he talks to the Israelites, he says, from what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Now that was talking about money, about gold, about possessions, because they were going to build the Ark of the Covenant. And the Bible says that they were so interested, they were so involved in God, that they gave so much, he had to ask them to stop giving. Had too much stuff. See, their heart was in the right place. What you believe in, you pursue and you give to. We're talking about time. You got 168 hours a week. How much of that time do you spend in things that help you be a better person? It means your energy, your resources. You know, I've emphasized this passage before, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Do you hear that? It doesn't talk about church budgets. You never have heard, and you never will hear, as long as I'm up in this pulpit, that we're going to try and browbeat you into giving more. That's not the way God works. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you can't give cheerfully, don't give. Because what has to happen is your heart has to develop to the point that you find joy in giving. Get involved enough to see what is going on. Grow. Number two, you need to have a perfect heart. Be involved. Be a part of the work here. In 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 9, the Bible says the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. See, when their heart was perfect, when the heart was complete, good things happened. The best things that have happened since I've been in this congregation have been when people here got excited about what we were doing. Need to be involved. Incidentally, that passage that I just read, instead of perfect, the word literally in the Hebrew means to be complete, to have a complete heart. Be involved. I'm thankful that the leaders we have here who step out and demonstrate by commitment. The people that are leading in our congregation are people that are doing stuff. They're here. I mean, you come here in the morning, Richard's out there shoveling and chipping the ice off the street. That's happened a couple of times. When there's something wrong with the building, guess who's here to fix it? Well, you know the answers to that, don't you? Point number three, You need to push yourself to have a tender heart. In 2 Chronicles 34, verse 27, God says, because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord, you will be buried in peace, as promise was made to a man whose heart was responsive. And this is the opposite of what I call the oh yeah attitude. You bring something to somebody and says, oh yeah, but what's happening? They're looking for some reason not to do whatever it is you're asking them to do. To have a tender heart, to have a compliant heart, a responsive heart, we need to make sure we don't think about what the negative alternatives are to what we are doing. Point number four. To have a pure heart, we need to not be afraid of having a broken heart. You know, that's a tough one. Are you afraid of failure? You know, when you talk about a love relationship and you get your heart broken, what happened? And most of the times what happened was you were afraid of failure. You were afraid of rejection. And that can paralyze you. In love and in your relationship with God, it can paralyze you. Psalms 34 and verse 418, David says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Have you been crushed in spirit? You ever had that happen to you? Where you did something so bad or your life has been so bad that you are crushed? You want to hear a man whose heart was crushed? Listen to Psalms 51 verse 3. This is David talking. He says, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. And not much doubt there that he's talking about his sin with Bathsheba. But David says, against you and you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. You know, I suspect that David, when he was not arrogant because he remembered what he had done. Feel sorry for failure, but don't let it paralyze you. If you've had bad experiences at church, don't let that paralyze you. We've got a number of folks that should be here right now who haven't been here for years because they got a broken heart, they got crushed. And they have such sorrow that they won't come in these doors. Number five, be careful what you are yoked to. Jesus says in Matthew 22 and in verse 37, love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. What's he talking about? He's talking about a way to have a primary union with God. In Psalms 86 and verse 11, the psalmist says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart. Did you hear that? An undivided heart. What's that mean? What are you yoked to? 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, be careful what you are yoked to. Are you yoked to work? Are you yoked to a fishing pole? Are you yoked to a good cause? You know, it's interesting to me that many of the good causes that are out there have failed because of bad leadership. The Warriors, Alliance for Warriors is a good example. But there have been many others. The Susan Coleman program, great idea, but got crippled, got paralyzed because people were yoked to the wrong things. All of our affections need to be centered on God. Don't embrace the God of television or a club or a cause. Now, I want to emphasize something here. I'm involved in a lot of causes. If you wonder where all those calendars are coming from that I've been saturating you with and all that other stuff, see, I'm involved with those organizations. I think they do some good things, but that's not my primary user of my time and my resources and my energy. And I can hear somebody saying, yeah, but Why are you having this Super Bowl party tonight? Well, we didn't cancel services tonight because of the Super Bowl. We have a number of congregations around us that did. As a matter of fact, the reason we're having this is because we hope we can provide some fellowship, some unity, some good times together. But if the TV set blows up and we can't watch it, I'm not going to cry about it. I'm not saying we can't be involved in other things. I'm saying what our priorities need to be, need to have God first. Don't be yoked, the Corinthian letter says, to something that is destructive. Number six, enlarge your heart to care about everyone. Enlarge your heart to care about everyone. Matthew 9, beginning with verse 35, the Bible says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Why do you have compassion? This is a bunch of yo-yos. This is a bunch of people that have rejected God. This is a bunch of people that were selfish and arrogant and egotistical. How can he feel compassion on them? Well, read the rest of it. Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Can you feel distraught about people? You know, I don't often watch television. Period. But I especially don't watch television alone. But last night, Cynthia was scurrying around getting the house ready for our get-together tonight, and I was watching a program about Hiroshima. And there was a lady there who had survived Hiroshima as a little girl. I had a student in my class who was from Japan. She was an AFS student, and her grandparents lived in Hiroshima. And she started talking about her experience, about how after the bomb went off, that people were running to the river because it was the only place where they could get away from the heat and the fire and the radiation. It was so horrible, she started crying. She's my age, and all she could remember was the burns of a mother trying to nurse her baby when her own body was 80% burned. About people who, when they hit the water, their skin came off their body. I don't want to get gory here. I had to turn it off. What do you feel about what's happening in the world today? Can you feel, is your heart large enough to care about the innocent people who are victimized by the politicians in every place from Somalia to Russia? You know, it's been my experience when you talk to the common people, the people like us, in the streets of what the politicians call our enemies, the Russians, the Chinese, ISIS, the guys that are out in the streets that are just trying to live day to day, they're just like you and me. And because of bad leadership, because of pain, because of indifference, because young people are not getting involved in the positive things that should be happening, they're suffering terribly. Can you care about that? Do you have concerns about the pain and suffering in the world? Is your heart large enough to care? Spend some time. Stretch your heart. Number seven, be satisfied and solid in your heart. Proverbs 14, verse 30, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whosoever is kind to the needy honors God. Can you crowd out the cynicism that's around you? Is your heart sensitive to people who are worshiping in false religions that are destructive? Do you know why you believe what you believe? You know, one of the things that I love about Lena is that when she has a question, she lets it come out and she works through a solution to it. Just recently, she had a question about things that she has seen on a television show, and she's asking questions. That's good. That's what we need to do. We need to be people who have a kind of heart that doesn't just get cynical about what is going on in the world around us. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff being taught by religious denominations that is destructive and false. There's cults all over the place. But we need to be able to crowd out the cynicism and realize that not all people that are trying to serve are arrogant users. Many of them are just like us. They're searching for answers. They're trying to find solutions. That's why we exist, is to help. Number 8, have a pure heart. We sang that song. Have an optimistic spirit. Proverbs 15, verse 15 says, all the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continuous feast. Remember the Beatitudes? Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, pure doesn't mean prudish. It doesn't mean arrogant. It doesn't mean self-righteous. Being pure in heart, the measure of being pure in heart, is to learn to hate pornography. Learn to hate pedophile behavior. Learn to hate foul language. Learn to hate dirty jokes. And there's a tough one, isn't it? Somebody tells a dirty joke, it's really funny, but it's also profane. Denigrates women or men. Denigrates God. What's our reaction? Learn to not love violence. That's one of the things that scares me to death about our culture right now. Our video games are centered on violence or sex. Our movies revolve around violence. Cindy and I have an ongoing argument about this because she doesn't mind the violence as long as it is comic violence. And I guess I've just grown up with too much around me to be able to accept that phrase. But she hates the stuff that I'm talking about here, the pornography, the prudish behavior. My question to you is, how much do you hate it? What magazines are in your house? What jokes do you read? What do you enjoy on television? Folks, these are things you and I can work at. These aren't just, you know, prudish, sit back and say, oh, the rest of you going to hell, I'm in good shape. That's not what we're saying. Because all of us have this struggle. We live in a world that is saturated with this stuff. But we can learn to ignore it. Number 9, work towards becoming completely true in your faith. Hebrews 10, verse 22, let us draw near to God with sincere in heart, full of assurance of faith. Draw near. That doesn't mean put on a show. That doesn't mean get entertained. You didn't come here this morning to be entertained. I guarantee you, you'd have a different preacher. That's not why we come to church, is it? And I understand that there are churches around us that have 50 times more people than we do because they are centered upon that. But I think we need to focus on getting our heart more completely true. And I come back to the example that Lane and I used a few minutes ago. If you've got a question, get it answered. It doesn't mean that I can answer all your questions. It doesn't mean that anybody here can answer all your questions, but there are answers. And we can together search them out. And finally, be honest and have a good heart. Be willing to be changed. And I want to emphasize that. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. Really? Really? You really want to be pure in heart? Well, you know, that's soap opera. I love that. Pure in heart. They aren't all dirty. Pick one that's not. Pure in heart. You mean I really shouldn't go to that movie? Yeah, if it's saturated with violence and sex, why go? pure in heart. In Luke 8 and verse 15, we know this parable well. We're told about a guy that goes out and he throws seed. In those days, they didn't dig ditches. They didn't have planters. They went out and they cast seed out of a pouch around their shoulder. And you know the parable. Some of it fell on rocks and nothing happened. Some of it fell on shallow soil. And it sprouted, but then it died. And there are people that come here and they just totally reject everything that is said and done. Rocks. There are people that come here, they're here for a little time, and then they quit coming. Shallow soil. And it may be lousy preaching, but the word goes far beyond that. But there also are those, and you're here this morning, especially when you're here all the time, who are good soil. And hopefully listen to a sermon like this, and rather than evaluate the sermon, evaluate themselves. Where is my heart? Am I willing to be changed? That passage in Luke 8:15 says, the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart, who hear the word and retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Folks, that's where you and I want to be. That's what pure in heart is all about. Be free from guile, from hypocrisy. Work at making your heart pure. Have you been changed by your faith? Are you different because of your association religiously, whatever that association is? Am I different now than I was when I first came here 25 years ago? I know the answer to that. I'm different. I may not be as different as I should be. I still got a long ways to go. My faith has changed because of the closeness I've had to some of you. Have you been changed by your religion, by your faith? You know, one way we can do that is to be involved in things like this afternoon and things like tonight. No, tonight's not a prayer group. No, it's not a Bible study. But it's an opportunity to be with people who are doing wonderful things, to enjoy a spectacle that people like to look at. May a certain level of violence. I don't know that that's the primary objective of it. And there may be commercials that are funny but aren't particularly espousing things we like or should be embracing. The world's not a perfect world. But we're together because of our fellowship. And next Saturday, as we try to improve this half of the building, which is threatening to leave us, we're going to change that. You can be here. Be a part of that. Or you can come this morning and say, you know, my heart's a long way from where I want it to be. Pray with me. That I can not only use these 10 suggestions this morning, but can use God's word as a primary tool in being pure in heart. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing to encourage you. Please come.